Okay. First, I hope I don't forget at the end that there's not going to be a class next week and that some will be away, but the following week we'll resume. Next week there won't be a class. I hope so. Yeah, I've been trying to keep pretty much during the summer, but I think the children are all back, so it's time to take a little bit of a trip. But upon we're talking about David HaMelech, Tefillah can't exist without David HaMelech. The whole union of David HaMelech is Tefillah. And that's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, and we'll continue to talk about for the next few weeks, Mitzvah Hashem. We spoke about the Sukkah of David HaMelech, that is called Sukkahs David, the Sukkah of David. The Beis HaMikdash is referred to in such a way. And we know that on Sukkahs we daven HaRachman, HaYakam Lanu, Sukkahs David HaNaifalas, Hashem should lift up the fallen Sukkah of David. And we're trying to understand why is David HaMelech's kingdom called the Sukkah? And this is related to the fact that David HaMelech himself is a Bar Nafli, which means he wasn't supposed to even live. His whole life was a gift of 70 years from other Mauritian. David HaMelech really didn't have years to live. He was supposed to be miscarried. And yet, we have an expression in Chazal, Emosai Kosi Barnafli, Emosai Barnafli Bar. When is the one who was miscarried, when will he be arriving? The Mashiach is called also Barnafli. The Sheikh is referred to in such a way. And we spoke about this last week. Why is it called Sukkahs David HaNaifalas? That the Malchus, the kingdom of David HaMelech, is uncomfortable in this world. Permanence, stability, is referred to as a bayis, a house. A bayis creates structure. A bayis creates a framework of existence. The descriptions in Tanakh of the Shechina, of the divine presence of Hashem being like a bird fluttering from one rooftop to another, not being able to find a place to stay. The description of the Shechina in such a way means that holiness, although it's our job in life to draw holiness into this world, holiness doesn't fit comfortably into physical existence. There's a conflict between physical existence and holiness. Therefore, the David HaMelech's kingdom is referred to as a sukkah. When we spoke about this as being the cause of anti-Semitism, the hatred that descended together with the Torah at Har Sinai, the hatred of the Jewish people, because the Jewish people simply don't fit into the world. Because the Jewish people are a dimension that is beyond this world, that transcends this world. Therefore, because there is this transcendent essence of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, they can't create, in the meantime, a bias in this world. Because bayis infers comfort. Bayis means this is where you belong, this is your place, this is who you are. And the physical world can't be a bayis to contain Knesset Yisrael, because our splendor and our glory and our time hasn't yet arrived. All that we had in the meantime were the two Batei Mikdash, the two temples in Jerusalem, that were sort of were temporary batim, but they're still referred to as sukkahs, because of the fact that they weren't permanent. But we had Batei Mikdash as embassies of holiness, of embassies of the higher world here in this world. But be'emes in truth, the bayis or base David will not be established until the end of time, when ruchnius, when holiness and spirituality will comfortably dwell in this world, and this world will be a receptacle, a perfect receptacle for holiness. It's already we see in the Torah that the Torah tells us they could have been, and then it would have changed. It would have evolved from a sukkah into a bayis, but because of our sins and our mistakes and so on, so it didn't work out. And now we can understand if we proceed further. That inference of sukkah shlomecha means the embrace of Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu, being surrounded by the Kanfei Shechina. That's not being used in the same context. That means, like the Anani HaKavod, right? That we sit in the Sukkah on Sukkahs. So one of the reasons that we sit in the Sukkah is because to remember the Anani HaKavod that surrounded us. So sometimes when we speak about the surrounding and all-encompassing love of Hashem for the Jewish people, it's referred to as a sukkah. But it's not referring to the binyan, to the Beis HaMikdash, and to that what we're speaking about. It's a different way of referring to the Shechina surrounding us. Because the sukkah is such a mitzvah that you're completely engulfed in the midst of it. It surrounds you. You sit in what's called the Tzeila de Me'emenusa. You sit in the shade of a faith of Hashem's love, completely protected from the outside world. That's why it's called Sukkah Shlomecha, or Sukkah Rachim Chaim V'Sholom. That's what that means. So now we could understand, based upon what we've been learning, and the connection, of course, between all of this and Tefillah, the Maral explains in the 33rd chapter of Netzach Yisrael, he writes, Ki inyan ha-Mashiach shi ha-olam b'shleimus. The purpose of Mashiach, the whole essence of Mashiach, is that the world should finally be perfected. Kfar hezbor lecha, he writes, Ki olam hazeh ein roi shi ha-olam echad ad zaman melech Mashiach. Maral says that until Mashiach comes, the world cannot be one. There can't be one. It doesn't make a difference how many, you know, earth days they have, or whatever they call these things. The Lamaisa, until that day, until the day that was promised us by the Novi, my talis is in the way, the thing's in the way, I'm sorry. They put it in the back. But on that day, Hashem will be one, and His name will be one. Until that time, the world is a world of separation, of estrangement, of pirud, of separation. V'lohaya melech echad rak b'mei David. Listen to what the Maral, everything that he's talking about has to do with davening. Every single thing. The only time that there was one king, really one king, was at the time of David HaMelech. Because you all know that by the time of Shlomo HaMelech, the kingdom already split into Yehuda and to Yisrael, to Yehuda and Ephraim. That's the whole business of the 10 tribes. Right? The split took place within the Jewish people after David HaMelech. So the one time that we can look back upon, again, this is notwithstanding the discussion in the Gemara and the Rishonim regarding Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, whether or not their period of time was considered to be a Malchus, and how do we define the period of the judges of the Shoftim, as is discussed by the Abba Benel in his introduction to Sefer Shoftim. But true Malchus, of course, true Malchus is the Malchus of David HaMelech, and Shaul HaMelech was a Malchus that was temporary in order to make way, to prepare for David HaMelech. That's the union of Yosef preceding Yehuda, Mashiach ben Yosef preceding Mashiach ben David. But the Malchus of David, when all the people gathered under one king, and it was consolidated under his kingdom, that was the time when the Maral says we had a melech echad, one king. Because the kingdom of David is similar to, we would say, to explain what the Maral is saying, it's not only similar to, it's the root of Malchus of Mashiach, the kingdom of Mashiach. Now, we already had spoken about this. This is an awesome thing that he's telling us. We'll continue with the Maral in a minute. It's an awesome thing that he's telling us, something that we've spoken about also, that the whole definition of Malchus in this world, of kingdom in this world, means to be able to gather together all of the little details and to form one whole unit. That's what Malchus means, right? We've spoken about that. Even within the human being, as we spoke about at great length the first half of this year, that the Melech, a human being, is a king over himself, when the different parts of his personality all merge together into one beautiful whole that is functioning with a common goal and common purpose. So that's what we spoke about the first half of the year, that Melech comes from the three words Moach, Lev, and Kaveh, the mind, the heart, and the liver, which means the fusion of the intellectual, emotional, and physical faculties all serving one God with one purpose. The Kaveh means a liver. Kaveh means liver, and liver is connected to the blood, which is the nefesh, which is the physiological aspect of human life. The Moach is the mind, and the Lev is the seat of the emotions. So, the same way that in the individual person, it's only when the different parts of the person are all focused and brought together for one purpose, for one singular thing, that that's called a malchus of a human being. So we already learned that the job of a king As the Rambam, we saw from the Sefer Mitzvah, the Rambam says that he's Yikabritz Kol Umozenu V'Yanhigenu, that the purpose of a kingdom, the purpose of a king, we're coming up to the Mitzvah Parashat Shoftim, that's the parasha of the king, that the purpose of a king is to bring together all the people and to direct, to give direction to Klal Yisrael. That is to take all the people, each one with his or her own separate ideas and feelings, different shvatim, you know, each shevet was a different world, mamish. Each shevet was a different world. And that's itself, you know, a whole discussion, I think maybe Goldie was there, it's back in the, in Farquhar. I was teaching, we spent on Reuven and Shimon, spent a couple of months, we didn't finish Shimon yet. And the each shevet is a whole malchus, a different world. So the job of the king is to be able to bring together the shvatim, each shevet, each tribe with a different way of looking at life, and so on, and to bring everybody together to serve the one God. That's the purpose of a king. All the chilufa koyches, all the different things that are happening in the world, every little thing in life, and eating and sleeping and so on. In our lives, we're malachim, we're kings, when we are able to take all the details of our life and somehow use them to draw closer to Hashem. That's what malchus means. That's what it means being a king. That's what it means to be a king. So, the malchus of David had the power to bring together all of Klal Yisrael with this one she'ifa, with this one great longing, and that is hamlochas Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem. That was the power of the malchus of David HaMelech. Therefore, the Maral tells us, the Maral explains, also Netzach Yisrael, Islamic base, Paraglamid base in Netzach Yisrael. The whole Sefer Netzach Yisrael is about Gul, about redemption. The Maral writes in Netzach Yisrael, he brings the Gemara there. The Gemara says, "Maitzoy Shvi is David ben David Ba." It says in the Gemara, you know, there are different times when it's particularly likely that Mashiach will come. Doesn't mean he can't come every day, except for Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Erev Yom Tov. That we already know, Pi Halacha, he's not going to come. But as far as every other day, we wait for him every day. But there are certain times where those times are very, very ripe for the coming of Mashiach. And the most powerful illumination of Mashiach takes place, according to the Gemara, by Matzoy Shviz. That means the year following Shemitah, the year following the seventh year, the year that follows Shemitah. The Gemara says, Matzoy Shviz ben David Ba. So the Maral explains, why is that? Why is it that that Davka, the year after Shemitah, is so powerfully illuminated with the light of Mashiach? So he writes, Matzoy Shviz ben David Ba, Yeshel Chalez Boinin. The year after Shemitah is the eighth year. The Maral says that the eighth year is the year that befits the Mashiach. This is a very, very common teaching in the writings of the Maharal. Chanukah is based upon this holy Smila. Because the Madrega of Olam Hazeh, this world is a world of seven. This world was created in 7 days. So everything that is this worldly is connected to the number seven. But Parashna Lamala, he says, Kielam Azesh Lemusa Malosa Shiesh by Ribui Shalim Belechisarin. Omispa Shiva Timsa Bechalmakam Ala Ribui. Therefore, the number seven, the Maral says, the number seven always implies multiplicity. This world was created in seven, and he shows in many ways, I don't want to get into that even. Geometric ways that the number seven implies multiplicity, a lot of something is the number seven. That's why there's 7 days of the week. It means a lot of something. When Olam Hazeh, when this world is being productive, it's connected to the number seven. But the days of Mashiach is when Mashiach will come. Everything will shift into that level beyond seven. We'll move to that beyond seven. Because in the days of Mashiach, everything's going to return to oneness. Eight means beyond seven. Seven is multiplicity. Eight means the unification of all separate pieces, everything being brought back to one. That number which is beyond the world, the transcendent one. The transcendent oneness that causes all things to reunite. That's the meaning of the number 8. That's why it says when Mashiach will come, then the harp will have 8 strings. The Beis Hamikdash. Actually, Yimayis Mashiach Madrega Yosef Zekilu Yimayis Mashiach Yizach Rebibulav Asher Barlam Hazay Day Mashiach Lakach Yimayis Mashiach Hakino Hu Shal Shmoyin Neiman. That's why when Mashiach will come, it will have 8 strings. V'loy Shal Shiv, and that's 7. Until now, it had 7 in the Beis Hamikdash. Excuse me? What? Menorah. The menorah is going to have 7. When Mashiach, that's the menorah. This is a different Indian from the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. The menorah in the Beis Hamikdash is davka for this world, davka connected to things of the world. But the kinur is connected to David HaMelech, the harp of David HaMelech, right? Everybody remembers the story. The Gemara. Yeah, that's not a pasuk. Yeah, but it became a pasuk. It's the famous song that became a pasuk. So the kinur of David HaMelech, as the Gemara tells us in Brachos, used to hang over his bed, and in the midnight the northern wind would blow and the strings would play, and David HaMelech would wake up and would serve Hashem. So until now there have only been 7 strings. When Mashiach will come, there'll be 8. And it's dafka connected to David HaMelech. Ki hashmini hu neged ha'achdus. Because shmini, the 8th, means taking all the things that were separate and drawing them back into oneness. That's what the number 8 means. That's the final tikkun. So now we understand one of the most shocking statements that we could probably find anywhere in Chazal. It says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Tzadik Ches, that all the whole section of the Gemara that talks about Mashiach. So the Gemara says that Mashiach will come in a generation that is either completely guilty or completely innocent. Dor shekula zaka yekula chayiv. Mashiach will come at a time when the Jewish people are either completely good or completely bad. Many books have been written to explain that sentence, and everybody's trying to figure out, so who are we? Maybe it's kedai not to be so good, or it's going to be so bad, and I think, what am I supposed to do? So the Gemara says, kula chayiv, kula zaka, kula chayiv. So we know that there are two ways that we've even been taught the Mashiach can arrive. There are two ways that he could arrive. One way the Mashiach can arrive is on Anane Shmaya, the Gemara says, on clouds from heaven. Another way that he can arrive is Oni Roichev Alacham, like a poor man riding upon a donkey. The Gemara says, Chazal say, Al Anane Shmaya, Oni Roichev Alacham. And we have in the Gemara horrible, horrible descriptions of what's going to be before Mashiach comes. Hopefully all these things have already been, we're already out with all these things. But the horrible things that we're told at the 11th chapter of Sanhedrin, and then at the end of the Gemara Saita, all the terrible things. So one of the things that's included there, it says, Shahamalchus tehapech leminus, that the kingdom will be transformed into heresy. The kingdom will be transformed into heresy. It's not clear which kingdom is this referring to. But the kingdom will be transformed to heresy. In the writings of many tzaddikim, there's a prediction that before Mashiach comes, that there'll be an attempt to raise a kingdom in Eretz Yisrael that is not a kingdom of Torah. And the kingdom will be one that's heretical. The kingdom will be against Torah, will be opposed to holiness. And, what? Sounds familiar, yeah. So the Malchus tehapech leminus, it says that the Malchus will be transformed into minus. Minus means heresy. Minus means heresy. So the Gemara says all these terrible things, that the Malchus is going to descend mamish into the lowest place. Can you imagine that from David HaMelech to the circus that now is sitting on the throne of Malchus in Yerushalayim to try to, the imposters that are trying, imposters from Lashon to impose, who are trying to impose their Malchus upon the Jewish people. People who defy Hashem and defy the Torah and hate Yiddishkeit. Not all of them, but the people that are running the show are pretty much haters of Torah. So the Gemara already said all these things, that the Malchus is going to descend into the lowest place. You see, David HaMelech is going to bring everybody together. Shechem Echad, all to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malchus of Minas, the kingdom of heresy, that now occupies the throne of Malchus HaMashiach, is Davka the opposite. It causes fragmentation and separation. It causes, this Malchus causes the Jewish people to now we're at a point where, I don't want to, if I get into this, it hurts me too much to even talk about, but there's fear of civil war in Eretz Yisrael. This fear of civil war in Eretz Yisrael. The Malchus of heresy that has brought Milchomis, has brought hatred between Ashkenazim and Sephardim, whereas Ashkenazim and Sephardim always lived together peacefully. Now there's hatred, God forbid, this hatred between different types of Jews and Tsarists that have taken place in the Malchus of Minus in Eretz Yisrael right now. Upon him, Chazal already tells us that this is what's going to happen at the end of time. Now, so what does the Gemara mean when it says that Mashiach will come and a generation is either completely worthy or completely unworthy? Why would Mashiach come at a time when it's completely worthy? I don't think we have to explain, right? But at a time when it's completely unworthy, why would Mashiach come when the Malchus has descended to the lowest place and the Jewish people are so completely unworthy? So the Sfarim HaKadoshim add on to explain. Tzadik from Lublin, the other tzaddikim explain this at great length. In the writings of the Vilna Gaon, this is a very, very important subject. The meaning of a generation that is completely unworthy, that it recognizes its unworthiness. It recognizes its ugliness. It feels the pain. It's saddened by its unworthiness. It feels completely, completely empty and unworthy. And because of that recognition that we mamish is so, so far away, I was so unworthy. So you remember last week we spoke about how the Beis HaMikdash was completely destroyed except for the gates. And the gates were the only part of the Beis HaMikdash that was actually made by who? By David himself, right? And the gates, therefore, were not able to be destroyed. And we spoke about this, that the gates of the Beis HaMikdash mean the poor man who feels absolutely, that he has absolutely nothing of his own. He stands by the gate waiting for Hashem's salvation. That's all he has. His only source of deliverance is the master of the world. And that's the essence of David HaMelech. That's what Malchus means. Malchus here means that the king wants only to help. The king wants only to bring the Jewish people together to serve Hashem. And he feels completely, completely helpless. And completely, completely vulnerable. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've spoken about at great length, therefore David HaMelech is the Ani, is the poor one. Therefore, if there's a generation that senses its own corruption and admits its own faults and errors and its distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that generation should be filled with tefillah, should be filled with davening, because to the extent, as we spoke about this at great length, to the extent that one feels completely empty, davening is awakened. Because when a person realizes that he has absolutely nothing, and he's worthy of nothing in his own. He's completely unworthy. And he deserves nothing at all. And all he has is to beg, b'sachanunim, with begging and crying, like an ani who has nothing to except his crying, except his tears. So that means that generation is Davka Roy, that generation is Davka connected in the deepest way to David HaMelech, is connected in the deepest way to Mashiach Tzidkenu, who is the poor man, the impoverished one. And we understand a frightening thing that it says in Medrash Shmuel, it says in the Medrash, Omnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, B'shloish HaDvarim HaMasidim L'mayist, Hashem said that in the future you're going to see that the Jewish people are going to be disgusted with three things. Three things are going to make the Jewish people sick. Malchus Shemayim, the kingdom of heaven. Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of David HaMelech. The Binyan Beis HaMikdash and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. These are three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, mark my word, you're going to see. It's going to come a time when the Jewish people will loathe the kingdom of Shemayim, the kingdom of David HaMelech on earth, and the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the kingdom. And then the Medrash says, "Ein Yisrael Royin Simon Broch Loilam Ad Shiachzui Yevakshu Shleishim Shleishtam." The only way that the Jewish people will be able to see bracha, will be able to see blessing in their lives, to see finally the end is if they seek all three. The Chassid is it's written, Uvikshus Hashem Elokeyem, Zumachus Shemaim, Bezdovid Malkim, Zumachus Bezdov. It says in the pasuk that we spoke about a few weeks ago, and they will seek Hashem their God. That means Malchus Shemaim. And then it says, Vez David Malkum, and they will seek David their king. And that means Malchus Beis David and the Beis HaMikdash. And at that time, when the Jewish people recognize the corruption, when the Jewish people admit that they have nothing to rely upon except tefillah, if at that time they are able to bring themselves to the humility and to sense the anius, the poverty, so then Davka they could receive Mashiach in the most spectacular way. Because when the vessel is completely empty, you could receive everything. But Hashem was saying that there's going to come a time, you have to understand that the Malchus of Minas, if we want to identify the personality of the Malchus of heresy that has been in Eretz Yisrael for the most part since the establishment of the state, this is by no way a political statement, and is not to be used as a way of figuring out whether or not I celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut. So I'm not descending into such silly things. Please don't assume that I'm talking about anything political or anything that has to do with any of this stuff. I'm not. I'm talking purely on a level of Messias that every single person in this room can certainly understand. That if there was one little glimmer of a person who at least was a Maamin, that was Menachem Begin, was at least a person that believed in Hashem and believed in Torah, believed in the Tzaddikim. That's also Menachem Begin, despite his goodness, despite his character and his emunah, is certainly a far cry from Mashiach Zakein. Even though there were people that were ready to crown him, he's a far cry from Mashiach. As far as the others are concerned, for the most part, it's been a chevra of kaifim, of people who are deniers of Torah and deniers of Hashem. But the feature that is most identifiable in the kingdom that has risen in Eretz Yisrael, I think, is gaiva, conceit. Koichi v'aitzim yodi, the abrasiveness, the no care, no concern, it's not my responsibility, I couldn't care less, abrasiveness of leadership, of malchus, of the impostors of David HaMelech, is exactly what the Medrash was saying is going to happen at the end of time. That if at least we would admit, we'd cry, we'd say, we have mamish nothing, look at us, look what's become of us. Numimela, that itself makes us like David HaMelech, standing at the gate like the poor man. And if we'd be filled with tefillah, and if we would shake the whole universe with davening, it would be one thing. But the Malchus of Minus, the kingdom of heresy, is a kingdom that hates davening, is a kingdom that hates to admit its emptiness. And look at the lifestyle that has descended upon our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, that every single thing about the secular lifestyle in Eretz, secular lifestyle, I'm not speaking about religious people, but everything about the secular lifestyle in Eretz Yisrael has become so vulgar with ego, with a certain egomania. It's hard to describe exactly what's taking place over there. But I think abrasiveness, gaiva, conceit, and the feeling that we can stand on our own, we don't need anybody, we don't need anything, this is the opposite of Malchus Beis Dovid. And this is a terrible, terrible hestapan that we're going through. It's a terrible concealment before the end of time. To be able to admit how fragile we are, how empty we are. And when we're able to admit that, so then it's a generation that suddenly becomes very worthy for Mashiach to come on Yiroichev Alachamer. Because when something is purely Chaymer, in other words, when the Gemara speaks about the upheavals that are going to take place at the end of time, that the physical world is mamish going to be shattered, the Gemara describes in great detail how there's going to be terrible poverty and suffering and misery and wars before Mashiach. What the Gemara is telling us is that in order to make room, the Gemara explains this Keseder, that in order to make room for a new, completely new order, the old order has to be destroyed. Kiyadu, as it's known. In order for something truly new to materialize in a person's life, it means that whatever was there before has to be taken away. Kachal. I think that's understood. I wouldn't attribute it with such depth or importance. I don't think they. I don't think. Yeah, it's Shivach. I don't know. Okay, comes on. Things happen in the world according to these movements. Doesn't mean it had to be planned. This is the situation that in order to make room for something complete, in order for something completely new to take place in life, then there can't be remnants of old things, of something old that is interfering with receiving that which is completely new. So, to the extent that we've attached ourselves to this world, that's the pain that has to be experienced before the next world, before that time of Mashiach is ushered in. Because this world, it's like taking a toy away from a kid. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, it's described like taking a hair out of milk, because Moshe Rabbeinu's attachment to physical life was so tenuous. It wasn't. He didn't hold on to the physical world. When Rabbi Nachman said before he died, everybody was crying. He was only 38 years old. Rabbi Nachman. He said that believe me, that for me to leave this world, it's like changing a coat. In other words, I wouldn't really take it too seriously. Everybody's crying. So you shouldn't get too upset. For me, it's not really much of a move. But for those who place all their faith in this world and who are throwing all their chips into things of this world, so then if all of a sudden it's going to go, you understand that there's the natural world and the supernatural world. So all of that head there, all of that emptiness that comes before Mashiach is all explained by the Maharal is making room for the new Havaya, for the new level of existence that's supposed to descend into the world. So we understand that when a person himself or herself feels totally empty, that also makes room for something new. That's how a person comes into the days of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur also. The whole union of slichas that prepare us for Rosh Hashanah, we say in slichas, Kedalim ucharashim dafaknu b'lasecha, Hashem, we're knocking on your door, like people who are mamish and impoverished, people who are poor, we're knocking on your door. You'll excuse me if I remember now an old song that I haven't thought of in many years, but I remember that the words of the song, some of the words, was written by a Jewish fellow, of course, some of the words from the song go, so here I am, Lord, I'm knocking at your place of business. I know I ain't got no business here, but you said if I ever got so low I was busted, you could be trusted. Yes. It's a Jewish guy. So here I am, I'm knocking at your place of business with the feeling that I ain't got no business here. I mean, what am I doing knocking at Hashem's place of business? I ain't got no business here, but you said if I ever got so low, if I felt to such a place that it was mamish so low, to the place of raglaim, the feet, mamish the bottom, the ache of the end, and the last thread. So you said that if I've ever fallen to such a place, that you could be trusted, I could turn to you. So the generation that senses that, the generation that wants to daven, Rabbi Nachman says that when a Jew davens, he should imagine himself hanging from heaven on a thin thread over the ocean. That's how a person dies. Hanging by a thin thread over the ocean. So David HaMelech. David HaMelech, the Gemara says in Megillah, V'kevin shebo David bosa tefila. The Gemara says that when David HaMelech came into the world, Tefillah arrived, davening, real davening came. Until David HaMelech, Tefillah was not yet fixed. When David HaMelech came to the world, Bosa Tefillah, Shnemar brings the Pasuk, V'hav Yoysim HaKod, Shiva Samachim V'veis Tefillah, that brings the Pasuk. The Kohen from Lublin, Rabbi Tzadik from Lublin writes, the Shorish Darga, the David HaMelech, Olo L'Sholem, V'ani Tefillah. The very root of the existence of David HaMelech is davening. As David HaMelech said, and I've said this pasuk many times in our discussions, David HaMelech himself said, Va'ani tefila, I am a tefila. David HaMelech said, I am davening, Va'ani tefila. What does that mean? So the Reb Tzadik writes, La'akir she'hakol mi'ashem izbaruch ve'en lo'ele ma'ashem akal b'menu b'tefilosa. That means David HaMelech was the recognition that all he has is what he receives through davening. All that a human being has in this world is what he asks for through davening. This is the meaning of Malchus. Malchus means a davener. Malchus means the one who is davening. That's the Malchus of David HaMelech. That's the Malchus of David. The one who sees that he has absolutely nothing. He waits to receive. And with what he receives, he tries as much as possible to bring everything closer to that same Pesach, to the same threshold of emptiness where he's standing. That's why we understand that on the most basic level, which we spoke about already many times, that in order for Bnei Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim, in order to leave Egypt, it says, Vayenchu Bnei Yisrael min havoyde v'tal shavasim elokim. At the beginning of Sefer Shmos, the whole beginning of Sefer Shmos, the Jewish people screaming to Hashem, crying to Hashem. Rabbeinu Bechai writes over there, Olam docha she'ein tfilosu shel adam shleima ka'ese shu mespal mitar hatzor v'hadoicha k'shiyoyse mekubalas ha'oilu lefonav yizbarach. This shows us the whole story of when we were in Egypt and how we left Egypt teaches us that the only perfect feel, the deepest feel of a person is or for Davka when he's in a terrible state of misery, when he feels that he has no hope. And that feel is the most accepted by Hashem. That's what the Maharal explained, that tefillah means seeking Hashlama. Seeking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believing that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can complete you, can finish. That's what tefillah is. And to the extent that you feel that you're incomplete, to the extent that you sense your unworthiness, to the extent that you feel mamish empty, to that extent the person's tefillahs are energized. The person's tefillahs have kayach. So, all the things that we go through, this doesn't only mean by, I'm not only talking about Shachris Mincha Maariv, please, I'm not only talking about the official tefillahs. You could tell a person of Malchus by how they live with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person, a royal Jew, a person of Malchus, when a person goes through a difficult thing, the person will try to find 2 or 3 minutes of the day to go someplace that's quiet and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm so frightened. Can you help me? A person of Malchus sees every single thing in the world. If it's something which is wonderful that happens, he wants to talk to Hashem. That's what Malchus means. Because, you gave me a gift. I want to thank you for it. He's living in that dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he knows that whatever he has is mamish a gift. That's what Reb Tzadik writes in Dovid Tzadik. V'inyin ha-tfilu ha-karvish ha-kol b'yay shamayim me-Hashem zbarach. Davening means the recognition that everything is from Hashem. Rak mashuhu noisim lo yesh lo, and only what Hashem gives you do you really have. Mavakesh v'menu eze b'chol dover. And you seek Hashem's help in everything. Kisihara d'leis lo megamar klum, like the moon that doesn't have its own light, like the moon that has nothing of its own. Rak, that's why David Mel's kingdoms we spoke about is compared to the moon. Rak mashuhu mekabelis mehachama v'zeu knes yisrael shemoyin lo lovana, that's why the Jewish people count time according to the moon. Because we feel that vulnerability and emptiness, not like the sun that is feels that it has everything. It's always shining. This is the tefillah of the Jewish people, which is a tefillah la'ani. And now we can understand something very, very beautiful and very deep. That's in the Divrei Sofim Reb Tzadik. This whole Torah is. There's only a few lines I want to read to you. A few lines from the Divrei Sofim. You know, the word sicha means a conversation. It means a conversation. It says in the Yetzir Yitzchak L'suach Basada, Yitzchak even went to speak in the field, and we know that that's when he davened mincha. He was establishing Tfil of Mincha. That's nice. Erev. And it says in the pasuk Tfilah La'ani that the prayer of the Ani, pray of the poor man, L'fnei Hashem Yishbar Secha, that the poor man pours out his conversation before Hashem. Tefillah L'Ani Kiyater, L'fnei Hashem Yishbar Secha. That the Ani pours out his conversation to Hashem. So Tzadik writes, V'ha Ani Kol Sichasahu Tefillah. Tzadik says an astounding thing. Whatever the poor man says is Tefillah. Anything that the poor man says is davening. Whatever he says, it's Tefillah. The only thing that the poor man has to talk about, whatever he says, is pouring out his broken heart. In the oppressive, how oppressed his spirit is. Until whoever hears the poor man, no matter what the poor man is saying, whoever hears the poor man has compassion upon him. Rachmonis. Even if he doesn't daven. Even if he doesn't beg. Raksi chaso hi tefillin. Whatever the poor man says is davening. Even if he's not asking you for something. Even if he's not begging. Listen. Al derech shalom David HaMelech alav shalom, that's the meaning of what David HaMelech said, Va'ani tefila, I am tefila. She'som otzmai ani, she'ein tzarech l'sfal, David HaMelech says, I'm so tired, I don't have to really daven anymore, Hashem. I don't have to daven anymore, I am tefila. What does that mean? I am davening, I am a prayer. Akshu atzmai tefila k'ma she'shamati, a perish came like I heard. But this is the meaning. Ki ani ha'elech harm v'yachev. A poor man who is naked, has hardly any clothing, is barefoot, and his skin has become all wrinkled and dry, and he's so thin because of his hunger. Until he's more black than black. His whole body is covered with injuries. When such a person, such a poor, destroyed person stands at the opening of the house of someone who has what to give. Ein sarach ladaber bakashal, so the poor man doesn't have to even speak. Doesn't have to say. He called ra'ehu yagish mubukasha. Whoever sees this poor man will know what he needs. Will see what he's asking. In other words, his very being is a tefillah. His disheveled, his destroyed image, his loss of self-esteem, his loss of beauty, the torn clothing, the emptiness, the distance from truth, all these things that make a person poor in every respect. All these things themselves, whoever sees will know that this is a tefillah. This person doesn't have to say a word. He's mamish a tefillah. When you look at the pictures of people who went through the war, who went through the milchama, who went through that period of time, which they call the Holocaust, that when you look at pictures of those people, so they didn't have to daven, they don't have to ask you for something. That little existence that's left in them is mama's screaming tefillahs. It's like screaming, please help me. It's beyond the point of asking. V'yirachem alav, who atzmei tefillah, that's what David HaMelech said to Hashem. Look, Rabbanu Shalom, I need tefillah. I am a tefillah. Look at me. Look what's happened to my life. Look at me. I'm so far. I'm so broken. I need tefillah. Do I really have to say anything anymore? Look at me. I need tefillah. V'chein ha'yid David HaMelech ha'ol v'shalom shval ruach b'einam. So Reb Tzadik says that David HaMelech was so, so humble, was so low in his own eyes. That's Malchus. That's Malchus. U'makir nigei levovo. David HaMelech understood so deeply the imperfections of his own heart, the imperfections of his life. So, Darga Da'ani, this is the level of the poor man. Shagam Tzichoso Tefillah, that even when he speaks and says, hi, how are you? You go to the poor man and say, how are you doing today? He says, okay. The way that he says, okay, is also Tefillah. And in response to Golda, what you were asking, even the bitterness of the poor man, even the complaint of the poor man, is itself. That itself is a tefillah. It's a tefillah of a person who is mamish on the verge of losing hope. That he's been transformed into somebody who's so bitter. It's mamish, the most profound tefillah. Yes? Doesn't that contradict the fact that David HaMelech was the happiest Jew in the world and was singing all the songs and is the master of song and joy? So what do you make of that? The fact that David HaMelech was the happiest Jew on earth? Huh? No, no. So what do you think? So what do you think? No? Somebody else?
Did you tell him that? Because after he went to the
The answer, is this. What Ling is saying is 100% correct. I mean, it's definitely a good question. But you knew that it had to have an answer. I mean, in other words, you know that it has to be true because we see the David HaMelech combine these things, right? So we know that it must be. Because all our zmiris, all our singing, all our joy, and all our dancing comes to us from the same man. So the answer is, it's not talking about chronologically. Please don't make that mistake. It's nothing with anything chronological. It's not before or after the mystery. Because David HaMelech said, Chesed u'mishpat ashira. What does that mean? I sing to God during times of chesed, and I sing to him during times of judgment. David HaMelech's whole life is a song. Because only Davka, please understand, that Davka, the one whose whole life is a tefillah, and Davka, the one who feels completely and totally empty, Davka, that person, can be filled with all the songs of the world. And only that person. Now I'm going to explain. The reason for that is because, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to have such a Rabbeinu Shalom, to have such a God, to have such a Rebbe, to have such a father who understands, who listens, who has what to give, who always wants to help you. Dafka, the person who is completely dependent upon the Rabbeinu Shalom, can experience joy. At the same time that he recognizes his emptiness, you're asking shouldn't he concentrate on Chasdei Hashem? It's just the opposite. Only such a person can recognize Chasdei Hashem. How come when people like us get stuff, so we're happy for a couple of minutes, and the next minute, David HaMelech wasn't like that. David HaMelech used to run around the street, the Simcha. Why? Because David HaMelech felt that every single thing that he had was delivered with a kiss straight from the master of the world. And when you feel that in the deepest way, Davka, when you're being filled by the only one that can fill, then you have Simcha. That's how the Jewish people have existed. The Jewish people, at the same time, as the Zohar says, that one side of the heart is completely broken, and the other side of the heart is completely joyous. That the whole Sefer Tehillim, that's the story of David HaMelech. Yeah, the crying and the laughing at the same time. Because Davka, the one who knows that everything is in Hashem's hands, Davka, that person who knows everything is in Hashem's hands, nothing is at all is left up to this person or that person. What's all the misery of the world? People are worried. What's my boss going to say tomorrow? Because I handed in that paper, am I going to get a B? Am I going to get an A? Oy, vai, vai. What's going to be? Yeah, the anxiety. Oy, am I impressing this person? Am I yoytze with that person? All of the anxiety and misery and suffering from people who are so filled with their own sense of self, all the sorrows that these people experience. So I would say just the opposite. To the extent that people feel filled with themselves, to that extent they're sad, they're depressed. I'm not talking about people who are stam empty, God forbid. Stam empty, you jump off the bridge. I'm talking about people who are empty, waiting for Hashem. That's the greatest simcha in the world. It's the greatest joy in the world, knowing that like the Koska said, that the Kuska said that a Jew has to know that no matter where he falls into Hashem's lap. That's a gewaltig thing to know. To feel that in the deepest way. That every single thing that you're going through, Mamash Hashem goes through with you. Every single thing is with you. So the same person, David HaMelech's Malchus, means that all your experiences, your good days, your bad days, a time of simcha, a time, God forbid, of mourning. The whole Sefer Tehillim, why is it that every Jew could find himself in Tehillim? Why is it that the Jewish people for thousands of years, whether a person is exceedingly joyous, or God forbid sad, nervous, worried, whatever it may be, you could open up a Tehillim and you could find yourself? Because David HaMelech, the one who wasn't supposed to be, has the neshama of all Klai Yisrael, he has the Malchus of Knesset Yisrael, he brings all of us together in his Sefer Tehillim. He brings all of us together and he brings all of us with all of our ups and downs, all of our experiences. That's what a song is. What does a song consist of? A song consists of high notes and low notes. If you want to make a beautiful song, you have to have in that song diversified notes. If it's all going to be one chord, one note, that's not much of a niggun. It's just, But a niggun is when it has high notes and low notes. That's what a niggun is. So David HaMelech said, listen, I have in my life, I go through my life certain times that are high notes, and I go through my life certain times that are low notes. Chesed u'mishpat ashir, I sing to every second. As my life itself is, the same way that David HaMelech's life is a tefillah, he also said, azamr l'elokai b'yodi, his life is also a song, with all of its ups and downs. Because every single aspect of his life, when David HaMelech felt a sense of emptiness and longing and thirsting, so he said in Tehillim, Tzoma nafshi l'elokim l'kelchai, he said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When David HaMelech felt a sense of awe and fear, he says in Tehillim, Ma enish ki sizkerena, what's a human being? A human being is not even worth mentioning. When David HaMelech felt terrified by Hashem hiding his face, by concealment, so David HaMelech cried out, Adonu Hashem, Adonu Hashem tishkichei nesach, Hashem, will you forever forget me? Or turn away from me? Adonu tasteris panachim yimeni, how long will you turn your face away from me? When David HaMelech felt secure in Hashem's salvation, he said, Vani b'chaz d'cho batachti, Yogel b'bishua secha, Hashem, I am depending upon your salvation, my heart rejoices in your deliverance. When David HaMelech felt at the lowest point of his life, he could say, Gam ki eluch begeit salam aves, even when I walk through the valley of death, lo yirara ki ati imodi, I'm not afraid because I know that you're with me. When David HaMelech felt that Hashem is his father, who is so proud of him and who has such nachas from him, and he could depend upon his father to take care of him, he would say, Shem reini ki ishun bas ayin b'tzelt mefecha tasdi reini, that Hashem guards me like the point of his eye, the bas eye, you know, the pupil of the eye, meaning that inner point of the eye, when you love someone, so Hashem watches me in such a way, and Hashem itself, Hashem surrounds me with his embrace, with his wings, he hides me from the world. That's why, Chazal say, ba'asara ma'amara shel shavach nema tehillim, that there are 10 languages, 10 terms of praise that we find in Tehillim. 10 words of praise. B'nitzuach, it says Lam Natsayach, B'nigun, B'niginos, B'maskil, B'mizmur, B'shir, B'ashrei, B'tehila, B'tfila, B'hidor, B'haleluka. Again, B'nitzuach, B'nigun, B'maskil, these are all the different kapilach in Tehillim. B'nigun, B'maskil, B'mizmur, B'shir, B'ashrei, B'tehila, Tfila, b'hayda, b'haleluka, it's the Gemara B'sachan, man, kuf yud zayin. In short, there wasn't one thing in the world, there wasn't one moment of life that David HaMelech didn't connect to Hashem. There wasn't one moment that was passed by without it being an opportunity of making Hashem king over that moment. King over that feeling. King over that thought and that experience. Hashem, all the separate moments of life all brought together in one great tefillah of the poor man, of the Oni of David HaMelech. That's what Malchus means. That's what Malchus means. You're talking about... He was enormously wealthy. In great wealth. It has nothing to do with your bank account, this feeling. Well, there was more exorbitant splendor, but David HaMelech certainly lived in great comfort and, I guess everything but central air conditioning, I suppose. But he lived in great comfort. But we understand, we finish today's talk, that's what it says, after Malchaves David and Yeshiva Bazar. You're not allowed to sit in the courtyard of the temple. No one's allowed to sit there. Except Malchaves David. The Gemara, the Medrash says, after Malchaves David and Yeshiva Bazar, Omar v'yeshel fnei Hashem, So it says, even the kings of David, the Medrash says, even the kings from the family of David cannot sit in the courtyard. So Mal Vayeshel of Hashem. So Hakim says in Shmuel Beis that he sat before Hashem, that David Melch sat before Hashem. Sheyoshav Atzmo Betfil. He sat and he davened. So it doesn't mean, when it says that he sat before God, it doesn't mean he sat in the courtyard, because even the kings of David Melch can't sit in the courtyard of the temple. So what does it mean that he sat before God? It means he sat and he davened. So the Maral says a very deep thing in Derech Haim, the third parak of Pirkei Avos, the 16th Mishnah. The Maral says, regarding the sitting of the tzaddikim in Olam Haba, it says that in the future the tzaddikim are going to sit in Olam Haba. So it says, tzaddikim yoishvim. What does it mean, sitting? Why is Olam Haba described as a place of sitting? Because sitting means, you see, this world is a world of movement. Movement means imperfection. That's why everything has to move towards something else. It's not where it has to be. It's not yet. It's not there yet. Movement means Olam Hazeh. But Olam Haba is a place of yeshiva and hanacha. It's a place of restfulness, of peace. The movement stops. This indicates that the human being has finally reached a state of perfection where movement is no longer necessary. He doesn't have to move towards his perfection. He's already there. Whatever is perfect and whole, it doesn't have to run from one place to another. It's peace. It's at peace and sits in one place. Therefore, it's always described as tzaddikim sitting in Olam Haba in the end. So when we speak here of David HaMelech sitting in tefillah, that's what it says. He was sitting when he sat in tefillah. Usually we speak about davening was standing, but here it says was sitting. That's the perfection of davening. Perfection of davening. David HaMelech sat in davening. The meaning of sitting in his tefillahs was that he was completely, completely immersed in the world of tefillah, davening. Everything about him, he was rested in that world. He was perfected in that world. Therefore, it's described as sitting in that world. He had reached the point of ultimate perfection in tefillah. Ultimate perfection in tefillah. Therefore, he's described as sitting in tefillah. Sitting in tefillah. Ubez Hashem, we should be zarech Mitzvah very soon to be standing in the courtyard of the Beis David, of the Beis Hamikdash of David Malkam Mashiach. We should be zarech Mitzvah for Gula Hashleim, for Kapudim, Meir Omei. So next week in Mitzvah Hashem, next week.